I was planning, our family actually was planning to attend, to go down to Juarez, Mexico this weekend. We were supposed to be there, actually coming back today, because I'm on the board of a children's home in Juarez, and once a year they have their board meeting down there. So we were planning to go down for the board meeting, and we were planning to leave on Thursday. Well, on Wednesday, I get a phone call from Wendy Anderson. Wendy Anderson is a person who used to live here in Minnesota, and their whole family moved down to El Paso, Texas, which is right across the border from Juarez, to serve at this home. And so she calls me, and she says, there's no way to say this except to say it. Joel has been kidnapped. Joel has been kidnapped. Now, before I get into all this, who's Joel and all this, a little bit more background about Juarez. If you haven't been watching the news, Juarez is being called right now the world's most dangerous city. It has the highest murder rate in the world right now. To date, 2,500 people at least have been murdered in that city this year. And that doesn't include the hundreds that are missing that they just haven't found or whose bodies they haven't been able to identify. It's a very dangerous place. In the last 2 years, depending on what stats you look at, either 6,500 or 6,700 people have been killed. It's a dangerous city. And life is cheap there. Life is cheap. You can literally order a hit on somebody for $50. You can get a teenager to kill somebody for you for $50. So that gives you maybe a little context of what's going on in this city. All right? So in the middle of this city, in the middle of this chaos, there's a little children's home, a little oasis that sits on top of a hill called Emmanuel Children's Home, where these kids have a school, they have a medical dental clinic. About 100 kids have a place, a safe place, relatively safe place, to come and to be cared for and to be loved and to hear about God. There's a church right on the property and everything. So Joel is the principal of the school there. And Wendy begins to describe on the phone what had just happened. Joel had finished up his duties at school and was heading home. And he got into his van and was heading right down the hill. How many of you have been to Emmanuel Children's Home? All right, so a lot of you have been to the site where this happened. Right at the base of the hill where the kids kick the soccer ball and they go run it, you know, they go down the hill and you chase after it and it ends up there at the bottom by the church. That's where it happened, right there. And so he's driving down. Two vehicles cut him off. Two vehicles come off. They grab him. They pull him in their vehicles. They take off. They use his cell phone to call his wife, Patel. They get her on the line, and they say, we've got Joel. Or I don't know if they use his name, but we have him. They said, here's our ransom, and it was a huge amount of money. They said, if you don't pay this, we will kill him. And then we'll come after your dad. Then we'll come after your mom. Then we'll come after your sister. This was premeditated. They knew exactly what they were doing. This was targeted. And that's important to know as you hear how the story unfolds. So that's the phone call that we get. And from a human standpoint, there's no way out of this. Because if you pay the ransom, now all of a sudden, big target on the home. Because you pay the ransom and now it's an income source for you. You know, you pay it, well, great. Here you may or may not get him back. But now we know we can just come to you guys. We need more money. We'll kidnap somebody else. So if you pay, it's not good. If you don't pay, this is Juarez, Mexico. They could have literally been on the phone with him and said, okay, you're not going to pay? Listen, as we kill him. And now it's not over because we're coming after you. That's a scenario. So there's no, and not only that, the police come, great. The police are now getting insider information because there's so much corruption that now the people who are helping you are able to inform your kidnappers of what your plans are. That's the situation they're in. So that's some of the background with what this phone call means. So we get that phone call. I'm thinking ahead to today. In addition to my mind being very much with them and what can we do to help, I'm also thinking about today. What does that mean for us? Because we could today be saying, one of our friends, Joel, was killed. And I say friends because, I mean, our family, we went to Chuck E. Cheese's with him and his family. We've been to the Children's Museum. Some of you have had him in your home. He's driven in your cars. You've been into his home. You've been to his school. I mean, this is for so many of us, this is personal. Howell is the guy that set up the Skype. Last Sunday, we had our first ever Skype Sunday. Howell set that up. He's the principal of the school. You know, and we could be singing. So I'm looking at the songs that Dan chose, and one of them, the next song we're going to be singing as a group is From the Inside Out, and I'm like, okay, regardless of what happens, that is a song that we can sing, because it is a song of just depth, of God, you need to change me, and you need to help me to become a person who's going to embrace justice and embrace grace and wake me up from suburban slumber, you know? We can sing that, but one of the other songs was Our God. Chris Tomlin, the song that says, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Which is an easy song to sing if there's a happy ending. But would we sing that song if today we were announcing that he had been killed? And the answer is yes. The answer is God is asking us to grow up. As a church, as this little young church, he's asking us to grow up really fast. I was hearing that in the spirit this week of we're going to be asked to grow up really, really quick as a church. And if you go to a lot of the conferences that I go to and listen and read some of the stuff, they advise us, you know, young churches, you know what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to put out these brochures that say, hey, come to us because church can be fun. And come to us and we'll have better coffee than the other church. And come to us because we're cooler and we're hipper and all this. And learn how you can have three easy steps to living a happier suburban life. You know, that's not us. And especially now, to come and hear, you know, we're one of our friends, you know, could have been killed. That's the stuff we're wrestling with. But we will sing that song regardless of how this goes. Well, here's how it played out for those of you who weren't on the ECC mail list, which I'd encourage you to check that little box. Just check a box. You know, that's all. Just check a box. And you wouldn't be in suspense. Here's how the phone call played out. They call, the kidnappers call at 5:30 the next day and said, what did they say? We made a mistake. The kidnappers called and said, we made a mistake. Glory to God. They made a mistake. They messed with one of God's kids. But just again, to put this in context, this was premeditated. So the mistake was not we got the wrong guy. So something happened. Either God changed their heart and they said, we made a mistake. We should not have done this, in which case, if it was God changing the heart, then okay, that's one thing. If it was just we got the wrong guy, then what do? They kill him, right? You don't leave a witness. When life is that cheap there, you kill him. And my guess of what happened is God used one of the cartels, that these were little thugs, and God used one of the cartels to call up and say, you let that guy go. This is bad publicity, this is bad press, this is bad whatever. We don't do this. I think that's what happened. But God actually used. So anyway, so this is what we're thrown into the midst of. And the reason we're taking this is one day I will not apologize for going beyond 3 minutes for announcements, because this is an announcement. This is a pronouncement of what God is saying and doing. We just experienced New Testament Christianity here this week. We have never done a Skype anything as a church before. And for that to happen the week of the kidnapping, that's God's foresight, foreknowledge. That is God knowing something evil that was going to happen and setting us up so that we had a personal connection with this. So there's that piece. There's the part of you read in the New Testament and you read of the heart that Christians had for each other. They called each other brother and sister. When one was suffering, one part of the body was suffering, the whole part was suffering. And that was happening with you. This thing went viral. How many of you got this message somehow and were praying a part of it? Look at that. And how many of you know other people who were? It was crazy. Churches were praying, individuals were praying, Bible studies were praying. I started getting emails from KTIS Prayer Works Somebody not even from our church signed us up for this. So these strangers who aren't strangers of our family were praying for this situation. You know, and we're just one hub from which this went out. There was all these others. So we got to see that. We got to see we care deeply about this person, not the statistic. And then the whole thing of God doing miraculous. We just saw Acts 12, where Peter was put in prison, and it says, Acts 12:5, the church was praying earnestly for his release. And we watch God set somebody free. Now, you need to know that the day of his abduction, I went to our daily Bible reading for that day, and it was Paul, it was 2 Timothy, it was Paul saying, I know that my life is being poured out like a drink offering. He knew his time was short. He's using Old Testament sacrificial language. He knew, hey, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. And I'm thinking, that's what I'd read before I heard the happy ending. I'm going, oh boy, God, are you preparing us for somebody who gave his life in your service? And guess what? That might happen. It will not shock me if, I mean, because that's what I'm sensing, that God's taken us deeper, you guys. And we, this thing isn't over yet. And it may happen that a close loved one, there or elsewhere, that we're going to be experiencing this kind of stuff. God's taken us deeper into this. And sometimes we'll be able to sing our God from this place of today, of celebration. Are you kidding me? We made a mistake. Yeah, you did. from that place to, can we sing that song when we have to walk by faith and not by sight? That's where he's taken us. So first-time visitors, welcome. You just had this was a family meeting around the kitchen table. You came to our house for the first time, and we just welcomed you in. Hey, by the way, here we go. Here's what's happening. So, but welcome to our church. All right, a couple things. What are we going to do? What are some steps? What are we taking forward? Real quickly, here's some of what's some steps we're going to be taking and what we're asking. The first thing is this. We're going to be calling our family, the ECC family. We're calling to increase the frequency and intensity of your prayers, first for Emmanuel Children's Home. We saw God move here. And so continue. It's not over for them. I'm going to say more about that in a second. Pray hard for the children's home and everything surrounding that. And also for each other. That I added at the last minute because I'm like, oh boy, the scripture warns us to be aware and alert, your enemy. He's like a roaring lion, and I'm sensing there's going to be stuff coming our way. We don't have to fear that, but we need to be aware and alert, the Word of God says. So be praying for them, be praying for each other. Specifically, I talked to Wendy Anderson. She said, pray specifically for wisdom. Because right now, what's happened as a result of this and other things happening where as Wendy, Howell, he's had to leave the country. And so there's a whole situation there because now the principal's gone. Some of you know Sonia Lopez. She's the vice principal. She's left the country. It's not because of this kidnapping, but because of another thing that's related to the violence. So they've needed to leave. Josue was the original founder, director of the home. He has another daughter, Karen. Karen and her husband, Armando. Karen is the sponsorship person. Armando does a little of everything. He's the dentist and worship leader and among other stuff. They feel like they need to lay low for a while. And this is not because they're cowards. Don't go there. It is wise for them to take the bullseye off the home right now. So they need to lay low for a while. Aaron, who was here 2 weeks ago, who made the guest appearance on Skype last week, he needs to get out of the country. So they've lost a lot of leaders. Those of you who watch Skype with us, Eric and Diego, you know those guys, those two young guys who were on there? I talk about us growing up, and I was telling that with Wendy, and she goes, yeah, us too, because Diego and Eric are now going to be tutoring English. We needed translators for us. They're going to be tutoring English. They're going to be stepping into leadership stuff. Adam is going to be stepping in as worship leader. Wendy is serving as the home's director. Whitney, her daughter, is doing the sponsorships. So pray for wisdom as they try to figure out all of this kind of thing. And they also said pray for finances, which is one of the other things I want to thank you for, actually. Another thing that we're going to be encouraging people to, as far as the next step, we're going to continue to encourage individual sponsorships of kids at the home and to make strategic investments of church family. On the sponsorships, you have been such a source of encouragement to them right now. Their sponsorship spiked during our series because you were stepping up and you were sponsoring these kids. So send them encouraging notes. Thank you for the support you're sending. That's awesome. And then as a church family, with all the offerings that come in, that enables us to do just general offerings, just the regular stuff. You don't have to designate it because we do what we need to do here. That enables us to do things that we can't do individually. So, you know, the both and is wonderful here. And then also I put strategic investments. Throwing money is not always strategic. It often is foolish. And so we're trying to figure out what's the best way to invest. And then number three, talk about growing up fast. In our discussions with Wendy, she mentioned that there's at least one family that is considering Minnesota as a place to lay low, and possibly more. So we don't know for sure that that's going to happen, but last night I was getting together with Emily and Tim at Don Pablo's, which is so cliche. But we thought, you got to have some humor in all this. And so we're getting together and we're starting to prepare just in case. If they do say, yeah, tomorrow so-and-so needs to get on a plane with their family, then we want to be ready to say, all right, if that's the case, you bet you have a place to stay. You bet you have food. You bet you have whatever you need. You bet we're going to start finding out immigration law and all that kind of stuff. So we're preparing for that possibility. So just so you know that. And then one more thing, here's the other thing that we're doing, obviously, is to prepare prayerfully considering our path forward. You know, what are our next steps? What does this mean for the trips that we had planned? What does this mean for ongoing support, and how do we help? What would God have us to do? So I'm going to get more hands-on a little bit with our Compassion Justice team so that we're working together church-wide on this. You're all welcome to join us if you'd like to be a part of that team as we pray about what does this look like going forward. Just talk to Isaiah, and he can fill you in more. Because this is rocket science. You know, a lot of people say, poverty, that's not rocket science. Yeah, it's rocket science. It's not simple. Going forward, we're going to need to get to 400 level, learning to discern what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Because this is not show up with the Jesus film, and I'm not mocking the Jesus film. What I'm saying is, this is not us just showing up with a little pre-packaged program and saying, here we go. Look at all the people that got saved. Pull out and then go somewhere else. This is messier than that. So we need to pray about what it means as we go forward. So that's some of the basics. That's the tip of the iceberg. I'll be available after the service if you'd like to talk more, if you have specific questions. I'll be here as long as I need to be to answer those.